You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Give to us now, dear God, we ask, the glory of the light of your gospel, for what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Savior. Amen. The scripture lessons appointed for today are so good. Jesus boldly calling Herod a fox in our gospel lesson from Luke, and Paul's challenging words in his letter to the Philippians, for many walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly. And they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. But what I'd like for us to briefly focus on today is what Paul says to the church in Philippi. Just before that, he says, brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. And there are just two questions I'd like for us to again briefly ponder today. First, why would Paul give this advice, saying such a bold and seemingly prideful thing? And then parenthetically, why should we imitate the Apostle Paul? And to jump right into it, occasionally I'll run into people who are willing to say that they love Jesus and are even willing to express some kind of affection for the church with full understanding of the fact that it's imperfect and made up of sinners. And yet, when it comes to the Apostle Paul, not so much. Or at least they resist some of the things that he taught, which frankly, I just don't get, because nobody understood Christian faith and the function of the church better than the Apostle Paul. So those who love Jesus and the church, but not Paul, must just misunderstand either Paul or Christ and the church. Nevertheless, it's the question before us, why should we follow what we could consider to be St. Paul's Christian advice to imitate him? What is it about him that makes him such a good role model for each of us? But first, why would Paul even say such a potentially, seemingly arrogant thing? Join in imitating me. I mean, remember back in the 1980s when Michael Jordan was on his way to becoming Michael Jordan, and the Nike ad was, I want to be like Mike? Such a flattering and complimentary tagline, right? And how many thousands of boys joined in the mantra, I want to be like Mike? But suppose it came to light that it wasn't a Nike advertising executive who came up with that tagline, but Michael Jordan himself. Can you imagine the ridicule? Michael Jordan was quoted as saying, you want to be like me? We'd all say, oh man, it's all gone to his head. He's full of himself. Yuck. So why not respond like that to Paul when he says, essentially, you want to be like me? Well, because in the first place, as this cult of personality developed around Paul, which it did, enough to where we really did become a thing, to the point where there was division in the church over it. But as that began to happen, Paul said, for it has been reported to me by Chloe's people, love that, Chloe's people had reported that there is quarreling among you. Each one of you says, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Christ. So he then asks them, this is the church in Corinth, was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? The point being that Paul definitely understood his place. And it's just hard to argue that his intentions were ever anything but motivating others to follow not him, but the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it's clear that Paul understood that the behavioral standard is set by Jesus. He is our role model. There's only one problem. Jesus is perfect. So, yes, we strive to be like him, but ultimately we know we can't. However, Paul role models to us what a life redeemed in the blood of Christ looks like. And we need Paul and others who are mature in their Christian faith to role model to us what a life of Christian discipleship looks like. Because real behavioral learning most often occurs within the context of experience and observation. I mean, sure, you can read all about how to behave from a book, but real behavioral learning most often occurs within the context of experience and observation. I'm confident that those of you who are parents would readily confirm this. If not broken, the sins of the fathers will continue from one generation to the next, right? I mean, sometimes just meeting someone's parents explains everything. Because people learn how to behave by watching others. And during the formative years, who do children see most? Mom and dad, their teacher, a nanny, a grandparent. It's important because children are copycats. We're all copycats because behavior is learned through the example of others. And the other side of that coin is that we're all role models, if we like it or not. Also from the 1980s, you know how we love the 80s, but remember Charles Barkley, who was like the John McEnroe of the basketball court, became a kind of forerunner to Dennis Rodman and some of the other emerging bad boys of basketball. Anyway, the media was giving Mr. Barkley a hard time about his temper and behavior. They were pointing out to him, this was during a press conference, that impressionable young boys were watching him, many even trying to model their lives after him. You know, I want to be like Charles. And I'll never forget his reaction during that interview, because he got like visibly angry and said, "Hey, look, I'm a basketball player. I'm not a role model." But you see, he was wrong, because being a role model isn't something that you can just choose or reject. If you're a parent, you are a role model to your children. If you're the eldest child, you are a role model to your younger siblings. And if you're a member of this or any other church, you are a role model to what a life of Christian discipleship looks like, period. Good or bad, you are a role model. Not too long ago, there was that disturbing story in the news about the parents who were charged in the college entrance scheme. You see that? Evidently, federal prosecutors had charged a number of super wealthy parents, including prominent law and business figures, a couple of Hollywood actors, with using bribes, bogus academic exam scores, and fake athletic achievements to get their children admitted into elite colleges. What a sad commentary on our culture, the extreme pressure on children and their parents to perform. It was kind of shocking. And you have to believe that in at least some of the cases, if not most, or even all, the children knew exactly what was going on. What were their parents teaching them? If you choose to call yourself a Christian, you are a role model to what a life of Christian discipleship looks like, period, good or bad. This is why Paul would say, join in imitating me. He was merely accepting his role as an older brother in the faith. He understood that in the same way children imitate their parents, younger Christians are looking to imitate those who are more mature in their faith. There's just no question about it. We learn how to behave through the example of others. But let's just be clear here on one thing. Paul's example to us is the opposite of that bumper sticker I once saw that read, ex-sinner. Do you ever see that one? Ex-sinner. Like, the driver of that car equated being a Christian with becoming a person who no longer sins. Like, who even thinks that's possible? As the opposite of the Apostle Paul's understanding of transformation to new life in Christ. By inviting us to imitate him, Paul isn't inviting us to pretend that we can live lives of moral perfection. I mean, what a joke that is. He is rather inviting us to put down the pressure to perform and rather rest in what Christ has done for us. This is why he's encouraging us to follow his example, because in Jesus, Paul had discovered true freedom and the peace of God which passes understanding. And I have yet to meet a person who isn't interested in having more of that in their life. Paul said in this very letter that he had learned the secret of being content in every situation. Are you content in every situation? I mean, that's reason enough right there to follow his example, is it not? And to be sure, Paul wasn't writing this letter while sitting on the Gulf Coast sipping his favorite beverage, his feet in the water on a warm summer evening as the sun faded into the horizon. From a Roman prison, he wrote, I have learned the secret of being content in every situation. How is that even possible? Well, it's as simple as it is difficult. Paul had surrendered to his inability, accepting what Christ had done for him. He went on to say, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. There's no other way to explain the peace and joy that Paul had discovered. It surpasses human understanding. What might more of that look like in your life? Maybe the pain and heartache I have experienced has served as an opportunity for me to be empathetic toward others who are struggling through the same thing or something like that. I mean, that's the kind of perspective, that's the kind of joy and peace of God and real meaning in life that I crave for myself and those that I care about. Throughout this brief letter to the Philippian church, again written in a Roman prison, Paul expresses this abiding joy 16 times in 4 brief chapters. He overflowed with peace and joy because he overflowed with Christ. So when he says, join in imitating me, what he is really saying is, follow my example of surrender, allowing the Lord Jesus Christ to become alive within you. Remaining seated, please close with me in prayer. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the great example of the Apostle Paul and for the ways in which your strength was made perfect through his weakness. Help us, we pray, to follow his example of dying to self that you, the God of grace and peace, might be made alive within us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you'll join us for one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.